The reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, starting at verse 44, and this can be found on page 918 in the Bibles on the tables in front of you. Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
Great, thanks. It'd be great if you could keep your Bible open at that passage to look at it. Let's pray as we look at it together now. Father God, we thank you that we are able to meet together this morning to study your word. We thank you that these words were written down for us to study now. And we pray that as we look at them, that your spirit who inspired them to first be written will be with us now to help us to understand and apply these words to our lives today. Amen. Treasure. So everyone probably loves it. Different. It comes in all shapes and forms. So you've got the physical treasure, like the £24 million worth of silver that was recovered off the coast of Ireland this week. And there's sort of other treasures that we have, that sort of like aspirations for that perfect family. And there are many different types of treasure out there. So we might want that perfect job, the perfect partner. We might be striving for the treasure of sporting success, or just wanting security in life, a nice stable base. And in our lives today, we're surrounded by a load of different types of treasures. And some, we will choose to make important in our lives. In the verses we've just read, Jesus teaches us two parables about what really is the greatest treasure. And there's one main point to see from it, and that leads to three implications that work out for us. So the thing to see from today's passage is that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom which Jesus is bringing, is the most important treasure in the world. The kingdom of heaven is the most important treasure. And the kingdom of heaven refers to God's kingdom, which is God's people in God's place under God's rule. The kingdom is not something that we look forward to in the future. It's not something that's away from us now. It is what we join as soon as we believe, as soon as we become Christians, we're members of this kingdom. In today's few verses, Jesus tells us teaches two parables about how the kingdom of heaven is an amazing treasure and that it's the most important treasure we will ever encounter. And these are two parables which are really similar. But the fact that Jesus decides to teach the same point twice shows that we should pay attention to what he's saying. So, in the first parable, we meet a man who used to be a regular guy. And in the story, it appears he just stumbles across some treasure. But as soon as he sees it, he knows that he has to have it. And he knows what he needs to do to get it. And he knows how life-changing this treasure will be to have it. And so straight away, he goes and he sells everything that he has so he can buy this field and get this treasure. He knows that this is worth way more than everything else he owns combined. So he knows that it's worth it. At the time, his friends probably thought he might be going a bit crazy. So why would you sell everything you own just to own this one field? But he has seen the treasure. And he knows the true value of what's in the field. And so we see that he sells everything with joy at the end of verse 44. In the second parable, we meet a merchant. This is a man whose job it is to buy and sell fine things. So he knows what he's looking for. He knows he's looking for these fine pearls. And when he finds a pearl of great value, he knows how precious it is. He knows that this is the one he's been looking for and trading for all his life. And he does what he has to get it. He sells everything that he has and buys it. These two men both see the worth of of what they find, and they give up everything to obtain it. In these two parables, Jesus is teaching us of the value of the kingdom of heaven, that it's an amazing treasure. But it's not just any treasure, it's the treasure. And like the two men in the parables, you know when you find it, that it's the most important treasure that you will ever find. So what is so special about it though? What really makes it treasure? Well, we're going to look at that a bit more next week with Mike. But quickly here, let's consider some of what being in part of the kingdom means, which hopefully should help us understand a bit of why it's such great treasure. There's a Christian writer called J.I. Packer who wrote a book called Knowing God, and in it he wrote this about being part of the kingdom. It means that you can say that I am a child of God, God is my father, heaven is my home, and every day is one day nearer. My saviour is my brother, and every Christian is my brother or sister too. Let's just think about what those different facets of that mean. So I'm a child of God. God, the creator and ruler of the universe, now treats me as his own child. The God who is all love is now my father. The God who is the ruler of the kingdom of heaven is also the father of all those in the kingdom. And those in the kingdom have their home in heaven, a new creation where everything will be made right and new again. A great and glorious creation where we'll be made new, and there'll be none of the things that blight this world. So there'll be no more anger, hate, greed, jealousy, lying, abuse, war, famine, terror, fear. And everything will be made new and wonderful. Does that not sound like a great place to live? And we don't just have God as our Father. We have the man who died in our place, Jesus, as our brother, our Saviour. The one who suffered and died for us now stands with us as our brother. And we fear that every Christian is our brother or sister too. So those in the kingdom are not just part of a kingdom, but part of a new family with many others. What amazing treasure the kingdom is. And so, it's not just an amazing treasure though, it's the most important one. It's not just something that goes alongside other treasures. It's above and beyond anything else in the world. For the man who finds the treasure, he sees that the treasure is so much greater than anything else he owns. He knows how important and life-changing it is. He knows it's better than having all his stuff. And the merchant has many fine things, but again, the pearl surpasses all of them. That is the most important treasure to him. Both men show how important the treasure and the pearl are by selling everything. All that other treasures combined are worthless compared to these amazing new treasures. And the kingdom of heaven is something that surpasses all the treasure that we could have on earth. Because nothing else can bring us eternal relationship with God. So it isn't something that we just put alongside other treasures. It's not just another component of our busy lives. It's above and beyond everything else. So that leads to our first implication. Do we see the kingdom of heaven as the best treasure that we can have? Do we see that the kingdom of heaven is the best treasure that we can have? I think part of the problem here is that society tells us that this sort of treasure just is worthless. We're told that other things are much more important than that. It's more important to have a comfortable life, have a good job, a good income. That our studies are more important. That we want to have good friends and have good social lives. That's more important. That maybe sport is more important. That our happiness is more important. That maybe family is more important. And none of these things, some of which are definitely great treasures, should be the most important. Because the kingdom is a much greater treasure than any of these things. Because what can these treasures give us in comparison to being part of the kingdom? Can they bring us back into relationship with the Creator? Can they give us entry into a new eternal creation? The thing is, the world says that these things are treasures to hold on to. But compared to the treasure of the kingdom, these things are really insignificant. And to be honest, for us today, in the busyness of life, it's hard to see that at times. But in passages like this, Jesus tells us this is true. And when we take a step back and look at it, and we do know it really, we know how amazing it is to be part of God's kingdom. Because being part of this kingdom is being part of something that is wonderful and eternal. Think honestly for a minute in the day to day. How much value do you put on that new promotion? How much time do you spend wondering and worrying what colleagues think of how you're performing? Do you hope that you'll get to work on that big new contract? Really exciting job. Do you crave recognition for how well you're performing in your job? Or is the most important thing in your work the fact that showing that you're a member of this kingdom? That might look like not getting involved in the office gossip, slagging off other colleagues. You might leave in time to get to small group or a prayer meeting. Do you long for opportunities to speak to your colleagues about the kingdom? Or for some of us, it might be family. Or if you're really hoping that everyone gets on nicely, we all have like a nice lunch or a nice time together this afternoon. Is it that the kids have got good reports at school? Is that what's most important about them? Or even that they're just healthy, successful and happy? Or do you long for your children to have this great treasure of the kingdom for themselves? And do you do everything you can to ensure that they get it? And I'm not saying that we need to stop doing these things, but it's a question of priority. It's what defines us. What do we say defines us? What is most important in our lives? If we were to look into our hearts, what drives us each day to get up in the morning? So are you motivated by impressing the boss, winning that big new contract, getting the promotion? You're motivated by ensuring that the kids get the best education possible? Do you dream of having a Christmas newsletter that's filled with your family's achievements, accompanied by beaming photos from sun-drenched holidays? Or do you just want to get through the day so you can get home and watch TV? Watch that great new show that you can't stop watching? Do you live to play and watch as much sport as you possibly can? Is your sense of security based on the money you've got in that long-term savings account? Or are you just striving for enough money to buy that car, that new house, or that TV? And of course, like loving your family and wanting the best for them, it's not a bad thing. Wanting to work hard is definitely not a bad thing. But when these are our main motivators in life, then we're missing the point. And this parable has something very relevant to say to us today. If we really believe that the kingdom is an amazing treasure, and the most important treasure in our lives, then surely this should be what defines us, what motivates us each day. Like the two men with their treasure here, we should see that the kingdom far surpasses any other treasure we might have in this world. The kingdom is the most important treasure, so let's treat it like it is. The next implication is that the kingdom of heaven is the most important treasure, so do what you can to be part of it. Like these two parables do not end with the two men. They don't just find the treasure. They go away happy with the knowledge of the treasure. They're happy that they've seen this great treasure. They're happy that they've seen like the greatest pearl they'll ever see. They don't just say to themselves, it's really good to know that it's there, to have seen it, to have witnessed it. No, they know how life-changing it is to have these things, and they do everything they can to obtain it. Like, it's no good knowing about the treasure being buried somewhere and then not doing anything about it. People would surely think you were a fool. Imagine this man. He doesn't go and sell everything. doesn't buy the field, doesn't find the treasure. A few days later, someone else pops up in the news who's found this same treasure. It's life-changing for them. And the man says to his friends, "Yeah, I knew about the treasure. I knew it was hidden there. I'd found it. I'd seen it. But I really like my house. Didn't want to sell that. I've worked really hard to get my other stuff that I own. Didn't want to give that up." What a fool. See, imagine how much better, how much more he could have got, how much greater the house would have been, how much better, like, his stuff would have been. But how much more foolish are we? We're people who value our own comfort, our own success at work, contented family, above being someone who call themselves the child of God, living with his blessings now and the hope of creation to come. So when we find the kingdom, we should do everything in our power to ensure that we are in it, that we are part of it. And like these two men, we should be willing to give up everything to be part of it. Do all that you can to be part of the kingdom. And why wouldn't we? It's an amazing treasure that is worth giving everything up for. We'd be fools not to. What else gives you the chance to say that I'm a child of God, God is my Father, heaven is my home, every day is one step nearer, my Saviour is my brother, and every Christian is my brother or sister too? If you're not a Christian here today, I would urge you to do all that you can to be part of this kingdom. It's the most important treasure that you could ever, ever have. And just do speak to me or Andrew, whoever you came with, if you want to just find out a bit more about what it really means to be in the kingdom. And if you are a Christian here today, if you're already part of the kingdom, can I challenge you and ask you, are you like these two men here today? Are you willing to put the kingdom first, to give up everything to be part of it? Are there parts of your lives which are holding you back from the kingdom that may be more important? Are you doing all that you can to ensure that you stay as part of this kingdom? The kingdom of heaven is the most important treasure, so do what you can to be part of it. The final thing to see from the passage is that the kingdom of heaven is the greatest treasure, is the most important treasure. And so there is great joy in having this treasure. There is great joy at being a part of the kingdom. If we were to interview these two men after they've got their treasure and their pearl, what would they say? If you ask the first man, "Do you regret selling the house and all your stuff?" What's his expression going to be when he asks that question? It's a stupid question, isn't it? Of course he doesn't regret it. He's got a treasure that's worth far more than he ever had before. He's filled with joy. He's joyful as soon as he finds the treasure because he knows how great it is. I think that we often sort of focus on the hard things of being a Christian, the hard things of being in the kingdom, rather than the joy that it does bring. And the fact is, it does require suffering and sacrifice. But the kingdom is one that should fill us with joy to be part of it. So we're back in relationship with God, part of a new family, and hope with hope of a new creation. It's the greatest treasure in the world. And this isn't just a joy that we look forward to in the future. Like, if one day I will be joyful. It's a joy that's now. Like, the man is joyful as soon as he finds this treasure. We should be joyful as soon as we find the kingdom, as soon as we enter into the kingdom. Because straight away we have God as our Father, we're back in relationship with him. Our Saviour is our brother. And we have a new family, with every Christian as our brother and sister too. So I want to challenge us today. Just how joyful are we over the treasure of the kingdom of heaven? Are we as joyful about this as we are about other things in our lives? little example is that I love cycling, and especially love the Tour de France, which is happening at the moment. It's probably my favourite 3 weeks of sport of the year, and if anyone knows me, that's saying a lot about how good this event is. So I've been watching this ever since I can remember, and ever since I can remember, bar a few fleeting moments, Britain have been terrible at it. But this year, there's Bradley Wiggins, who this afternoon will win the Tour de France. He's the first British rider to ever win the Tour de France. And I'm really joyful about it. Like 2 weeks ago, I was jumping around my sitting room on my own when he first took the lead. I bored Naomi and anyone who will listen that how great the Tour is, how much I love it, and how well Wiggins and his team Sky, are doing. And on Monday morning, what will I be boring the people in the office about? What will I be chatting to them about? Wiggins winning the Tour. But what's my joy like about being part of the Kingdom of Heaven? Being part of this everlasting kingdom? And I'll be honest, it's shamefully small compared to my joy over some guy I don't know winning a bike race in a country I don't live in. I need to see more of the treasure of the Kingdom of Heaven, and that should lead me to be joyful. So being part of the kingdom should make us joyful, which will show itself in excitement and enthusiasm for the kingdom. So my colleagues at work should see the joy that I have at being part of this kingdom. I'm not saying we need to stop being joyful about other things. I shouldn't be unhappy that we're winning the Tour de France. But if I truly believe that this kingdom is the greatest treasure, this kingdom is the most important treasure, then I would live a life that shows my joy at having this treasure. And a great story about being joyful with this treasure comes from the England Rugby League and Union legend that is Jason Robinson. In his book, he talks about when he was at Wigan early on in his career, he had a teammate, a guy called Inge Twiggemala, who was a Christian, and he was someone who had a great impact on Robinson with the joy that he had with being a Christian. Listen to what Robinson says about Twiggemala. I could not but help but notice Inge Twiggemala. In Inge, I saw a man who was always happy. And he wasn't chasing anything. He didn't go out drinking with the lads. He didn't sleep around. He didn't have the best car in the car park. Why then was he so happy? I didn't need to hear too many words from Inge. What impressed me was the way he lived. To see him full of joy each morning when he came to the club was revealing. He was the only person I knew who genuinely enjoyed his life. Twiggemala was someone who saw how great a treasure the kingdom was. And he was filled with joy to be part of this kingdom. Just like these two men in the passage, with the joy that they had having these treasures. And that joy was evidence for all to see. Even a young, self-absorbed rugby player like Jason Robinson. Just want to say, how great would it be if us here at Emmanuel were that joyful? If we had that profound effect on those around us. So, the kingdom of heaven is the most important treasure. So there is great joy at having this treasure. So in these two short parables, we learn a lot about the kingdom of heaven. We see there is an amazing treasure. And in fact, it's the greatest treasure. The most important treasure that we will ever find. We should therefore make it the most important thing in our lives. We should therefore want to do all that we can to make sure that we have this treasure. It should be our priority in life. And finally, having this great treasure is great joy. So let's live lives that show that joy to those around us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the great treasure that the kingdom of heaven is. We thank you that you've given us the opportunity to be part of this great treasure. We pray that we would make it the most important thing in our lives. We pray that we would do all that we can to be part of it. We pray that we would be more joyful over the great news that the kingdom is, and that would show to those around us, so that you may be glorified. Amen.
All right, David. Few questions to go through, so I think we'll. There's a couple that are a little bit different, and then there's a couple that are on the same lines. So we'll go for one first. What about the Psalms of Lament? Then you talk about joy and being joyful in the kingdom, but is there a place for sorrow in the Christian life?
Yeah, definitely. We're not taught in the Gospels, we're not taught in the letters that being a Christian isn't the thing when we just put on a stupid fake smile and go through life just happy-go-lucky. We're told that it is hard work, but it's hard work. But I think it's like deep down we're joyful in it still. We're still joyful despite suffering, despite hard times. And it's something still to hold on to, really. It's not that, like right now it might not be a great time being a Christian, but remember what you have. Remember the joy that is in being part of this kingdom. Remember, like, the joy of, like, the fact that you're in this eternal kingdom. And although life might be hard now, there is still joy of being part of this kingdom now.
Okay. And then, kind of conversely, it's along the lines of, is thinking about the kingdom and the joy of the kingdom just a smug evangelical grin at the rest of the world, or is it something different here, fake persona being put on?
I'd say we're definitely not smug, because it's nothing that we do that makes us part of the kingdom in the end. It's not that we are the people who have, like, made this decision. It's the fact that God has graciously given us the kingdom. So that sort of takes away any type of smugness, because a lot of the time we'll be smug in other things because of our own abilities and success. So if we're, like Bradley Wiggins or whatever this afternoon, we'll be rightfully smug the fact he's won the Tour de France, because he's achieved it for himself, like with the help of others, but he's achieved it for himself. But the kingdom isn't something we can be smug about, because in the end it's not ours to be smug about. It's the fact that we are saved by grace.
Yeah. I suppose it's the fact that Jesus has done everything for us. So why should we feel content in ourselves and in our own achievement whenever we haven't done any of it we were able to do? Okay, I think that answers that question. And then, so there's two along the same lines. We've heard about the importance and the joy that flows from that importance. So first of all, how can we keep recognising that main importance, and how can we keep that our focus on it? And then, following off from that, how can we increase the joy in the kingdom rather than focusing on the joy of other things? So how can we keep it important and then stay joyful and keep getting more joyful?
Say it's remembering about the kingdom. It's remembering what the kingdom actually is in comparison to other things, which sort of sounds corny, but it means reading the Bible. It means reading God's word about what the kingdom is about. It's reminding ourselves how great it is. And I think that we need to just keep coming back to it, keep coming back to the kingdom. I think the more we come back to the kingdom, the more we realise. So, like, this has been really challenging for me preparing this. It's like, it's made me realise that a lot of things are, like, up there and they're important to me. And maybe, like, the kingdom just. And it's just passages like this which has been really helpful, saying, look, the kingdom is way above anything else. It's way more important than anything else you might value. as good as they might be, this is the most important thing. So it's reading passages like this, reading passages that tell us how great the kingdom is, will keep us joyful in what we've got and keep us remembering how important it is as well. And it's even just, like, I remember someone said, tell me that Packer quote, and saying that, like, if you say that to yourself in the morning every day, like, that will help set you, that'll help remind you of what's really important, that I'm a child of God, heaven is, God is my father, heaven is my home, my saviour is my brother, and every Christian is my brother or sister too. So, like, remembering, keeping that in mind during your day, I think will just help you so much in remembering what is actually important and remembering what we can be joyful about.
Well, that's all the questions that we had in the hatch. I have a couple more that I probably will have a little chat about over a cup of coffee and maybe lunch later. So if you do have any chat amongst yourselves later on, talk to David, talk to me, talk to Jim, about anything else.